I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Attention, ladies in the Leawood area. Beaumont Health and Wellness is here and offers award-winning wellness and beauty treatments like hormone therapy, weight loss, body contouring, microneedling, and injectables. Right now, get our $147 hormone replacement starter kit, including a private consultation, precision blood work, and a free B12 shot to recharge your body. Beaumont Health and Wellness, luxuriously bold, effortlessly sexy, undeniably you. Call 913-261-9855. Or book now at BeaumontHealthKS.com.
The time-tested Dow theory is bullish as we head into year-end. The big question is, will the upward momentum continue, and what levels should we keep an eye on? I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. All right, we're talking Dow theory, so we're bringing on our guy, Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, and you got to check out his website, horizoninvestment.com. And Chuck, really quick, throw us that number.
That number, Andy, is 800-711-7969. 800-711-7969.
All right. And if you have any questions and you want to maybe deploy what we're talking about to your portfolio, give Chuck a call. And Chuck, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Thanks, Andy. I really appreciate being back here. A lot going on in the markets, and let's have a chat about it.
Yeah, and so, in the lead, I mentioned the time-tested Dow theory, bullish, as we head into the end of year here, but wanted to talk about where you see the momentum. There's been a lot of things that have happened in the market since the last time we talked, and then we'll certainly want to hit on the levels that we should be watching as we talk Dow theory. But just start off on just your read on the markets right now, Chuck.
Well, as you mentioned, it's unequivocally the Dow theory is bullish. We just fairly recently had new all-time highs in both the Dow Jones Industrial and Dow Jones Transportation Average. And that, by definition, is a bull market under the Dow theory. So we reconfirmed this existing bull market that has been occurring for really in the last 18 to 20 months, but still looks like it has legs. So from a Dow theory perspective, you can't say this is anything but a bull market. When you look at those three engines of market performance, interest rates, inflation, and corporate profits, I think those still tilt toward the bullish side of the equation. So, we are positioning portfolios in a very positive way. If we have a portfolio of yours where we have the ability to be 100% invested in stocks, we are about 92 to 93% invested. So we've got a lot of skin in the game here because we like the market and we're still finding opportunities to put money to work.
Well, and then that's the nice thing about the Dow theory. We talk about this all the time. We let the market tell us and then act accordingly. And as you mentioned, the market is really bullish and you are playing off that. Let's hit on some of the levels as we establish the Dow theory. Give us the quick primer. The overwhelming Gains listeners, the Gains listeners know, but anybody who's coming in here, maybe new to this concept, give them the quick primer and then we'll start talking levels.
Sure. The Dow theory has been around since the 1890s. One of the reasons it's been around so long is that it works pretty effectively for helping investors understand on what side of the trend they are in the market, the primary trend, whether it's a bullish or bear market. The trend, Andy, that typically lasts a minimum of 18 to 24 months, if not longer. And the Dow theory looks at two things. It looks at the movement of the Dow Jones Industrial Average and Dow Jones Transportation Average. Those two averages representing very important parts, not just of the stock market, but also of the economy. You have the industrials, if you think of it, they're the makers, and you have the transports, they're the takers. And basically a market and economy that's in sync have both the Dow Industrials and Dow Transports moving in the same direction, confirming one another. And that's what we have seen here in the last, month is, new highs in both the Dow Jones Industrial and Dow Jones Transportation Average. So, and the transports in particular, their new high was after a fairly elongated period of sideways trading. So that was especially a positive development, not just for the stock market, but also for the future economic activity. So, from that standpoint, the Dow theory is in pretty good shape. Now, what we're starting to see, and it's a little too soon to call here, but, typically what happens is you have these new highs where you have both the Dow Industrials and the Dow Transports kind of break out and then surge. And we saw that kind of surge in November, which was an outstanding month for stocks. And then they start to pull back. Think of it as a marathoner kind of crossing the finish line. It takes a lot of energy to go to these new highs. And the market gets a little tired. And so you'll see it kind of take a break. You'll see stocks start to pull back off the highs. And we're starting to see that a little bit here. The Dow Industrials have pulled back, as have the Dow Jones Transportation Average pulled back. Where these pullbacks ultimately end will be significant, because those will mark the points at which you don't want broken on a pullback on the next pullback in the industrials and transports. So, the short answer to your question, where are the points? The points on the downside really haven't been established yet, but I will give you some help here. You would just looking and eyeballing charts, you really don't want to see the Dow Jones Industrial Average go much below 43,000. If it did, that wouldn't necessarily signal a bear market, but it would probably signal a little bit more distress in the market. The same with the Dow Jones Transportation Average. You probably don't want to see that go significantly below 16,000. That looks like it should be an area where you start to get pretty solid support.
Is that where we're going to find the lows? I mean, is there anything on the calendar how we always watch, it's always a range. You have the Dow Industrial high and the low, and we kind of know those levels. Kind of hard to gauge a sense. Well, I mean, on the top side, we're there. And then on the lower side, is there established levels? They weren't really even overly established the last time we saw. We had some basic idea on what to watch, or are there set levels?
No, there are no set levels yet, because the pullback, we haven't had, since we talked and last time we talked, we hadn't had really any meaningful pullback in the market.
It's got to be like a significant amount over a certain amount of time, right?
Yeah, typically, typically it's going to be about 5 to 8% of the market pullback. So, 5 to 8% pullback, somewhere in that vicinity. Least case, a 3% pullback. But, I don't look at pullbacks to be, quote, legit pullbacks until probably they breach that 5 to 8% level. That, to me, that's a meaningful pullback, and one where the points that are established on that pullback, are relevant.
Oh, that answers a lot of questions. So for it to really be meaningful, a 1-2%, you really aren't going to look at it there. It's got to be like a 5 to 8 or more to really consider that a pullback and then an established level, correct?
Correct. That's okay. Correct, yes.
And then,
so we haven't gotten there. We haven't gotten there yet.
So you're giving us kind of ballpark. You mentioned 43,000. You mentioned 16,000 for the transports. So those are just kind of levels that would be of note. They're not lines in the sand, so to speak.
That's correct. They're levels that would be of note that would not be surprising for the market to pull back to. But if they did pull back to them, you know, that they would be levels that would kind of test a little bit of the bullish sentiment in the market for sure at that point. But they would not necessarily signal a bear market, at least under the Dow theory. So they would probably establish the low points, those points on the bottom that you would, again, not want the market to penetrate on the next decline. Because, you know, the Dow theory is one of those things, Andy, sometimes it's easier to show you than it is to tell you,
right,
on charts. But basically, you know, what happens during typical bull market trends is you have the breakouts to new highs, then you have a pullback, and then you have a resumption of the upward move. And what you want to see to continue the bull market are both the Dow Industrials and Dow Transports after that pullback rising and eclipsing the previous highs. So you get this kind of sawtooth pattern higher where you have a new high, you have a pullback, then you have new highs, then you have another pullback, then you have higher highs and so forth where it keeps ratcheting higher. What you don't want to see is a market that has, you know, goes to new highs, then you have that obligatory pullback to establish those points on the downside, then you have the rebound, but the rebound may only carry none of the indices or even only one of the indices to a new high where you don't get fresh new highs in both indices. And then you have the market pull back to go below those lows that were established on the first pullback. That's a bear market then at that point. So, you know, we're still in pretty early stages of all this, right? We haven't even established those low points yet from which you'll hopefully get a rebound and a rebound to new all-time highs in the industrials and transports. But, you know, again, if people are kind of wondering, well, where can this thing pull back? You know, would it be surprising to see, you know, another 1,000 points off in the industrials and in the transports? No, that wouldn't be surprising at all. It'll cause a little fury, which is exactly what pullbacks within bull markets are supposed to do. They're supposed to scare the heck out of you. And they're supposed to restore values. They're supposed to take the froth off the market. And that's what their purpose is. And I guarantee if, you know, we get another 1,000 points down on the Dow and 1,000 points down on the Dow transports, you know, people are going to start to be concerned and they're going to start to become less frothy about this market, which is exactly what those pullbacks are meant to be.
All right, we're going to talk some individual stocks. I'll hit you up with a pick or two from your UpsideStocks.com list. But we got to take a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings. We'll be right back with Chuck after the break.
Do you know what went down at the Viper Room the night River Phoenix died? Are you aware of how Steve McQueen escaped death at the hands of the Manson family? But what about the real-life brutal murder that inspired David Lynch's Twin Peaks? These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back with Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, and check out their website, horizoninvestment.com. And Chuck, throw that number out there for the Gains listeners.
That number is 800-711-7969.
All right. And, you know, as we are heading into break, I teased that we're going to look at individual stocks, get some picks from you. But the one thing, the counter to all of this, and I know we follow the Dow theory and it guides us, but, you know, for those folks that say, wow, we've come a long way, markets seem frothy, and we're starting to see some of the activities in stocks and cryptos and memes and all that kind of stuff smelling a lot like it did 3 years ago. How do you explain, you know, those concerns, or what's your advice for people who have concerns right now?
Yeah, I guess how we operate in that environment is that there are, you know, there are certainly areas of the market that are a little stretched from a valuation standpoint. However, there are other areas of the market that aren't necessarily stretched from a valuation standpoint. And also, too, people need to keep in mind, and I know there's been all these comparisons between now and, you know, the dot-com bubble of the late 1990s, but You know, the fact of the matter is, you know, there's earnings in play now for these companies. You know, these companies, the Magnificent Seven, or their technology stocks in general, or the companies that have led the market, you know, they've led the market for a pretty good reason. Their earnings growth and their revenue growth has been tremendous. So, you know, these are not paper tigers by any means. These are companies and that have good growth in their bottom lines. And I think that's the distinction I would make between this period and some of the other periods that people point to as frothiness. Second, all bull markets have a period of frothiness, but that, you know, and it typically happens after you get new highs in the averages and you get investors kind of getting FOMO, right? That fear of missing out. So you start seeing money rush into the market. And, you know, we saw a bit of that in November, especially once the elections were settled and kind of that uncertainty was taken away. People felt more comfortable putting money into the market. So it's natural that you see this sort of thing. And it's also natural that markets get frothy. And again, I go back to that's the purpose of secondary corrections within bull market trends, to take the froth out of the market. And that's why they happen. So, you know, we actually kind of like secondary corrections because they kind of restore the vitality and the health to the underlying bullish trend. And if you didn't have those, it would be very difficult for markets to sustain themselves. So, you know, the pullbacks are kind of the pause at refresh, and you need those if you're looking at a multi-year kind of bull market. So they're very common, they're expected, they're needed. And the other thing too, Andy, is that when you get pullbacks within clearly bull market trends, they present pretty good times to put some money to work. Because you can buy with some confidence knowing that you're buying into still a primary bull market trend and you're taking advantage of some pullbacks. And, you know, we're starting to see some of these pullbacks in areas of the market that have done very well this year, whether that's, you know, institutional investors locking up some profits before year end so they can, you know, lock up their performance fees, or a rotation in the market that we've started to see into some of these other areas that had kind of underperformed this year. You know, regardless, you're seeing some opportunities being presented, and if you have some cash, this isn't the worst time to put some of that cash to work in some of those stocks.
Yeah, and you mentioned playing catch-up. We've seen other areas of the market actually play a little catch-up here. So, you know, as they say, rising tides lift all boats, and there were some boats that were kind of underperforming. So it's nice to see a more well-rounded market. Is it fair to say that?
It is. And I think those sorts of markets have more staying power, the broader the market trend. You know, if markets that are kind of led by very, very narrow leadership, you can still make money in those markets if you own those stocks. But my experience has been it's a better market to make money when you have a broader representation of stocks doing well. And, you know, we have seen certainly in the last couple of months better breadth in the market, where, you know, some of the areas that had led have pulled back a little bit, and some of the areas that have lagged have kind of, you know, done better. And that's something that presumably we'll see in 2025 as well, hopefully a continuation of that.
All right, I'm going to, you know, for the gains listeners, wanted to hit you up with some individual ideas. Anything that you see in the market right now that, you know, maybe it's been underloved and it's playing catch up, or something that maybe is a new idea. But I'm looking for some themes and ideas of some individual companies to take a hard look at as we, you know, we head into 2025. And, you know, what comes to mind, too, is maybe give us something up or off of that UpsideStocks.com list.
Yeah, a couple of areas that we're seeing some strength is, you know, non-bank financials. So insurance companies, consumer lenders, and so forth. A play in there is a company called Enova, E-N-O-V-A is how the company is spelled, is an interesting play in that space. If you want kind of a, and this is going to sound a little odd, a non-bank bank, one stock that we've liked for a while that continues to put up really good numbers is Esquire Financial. The symbol is ESQ. Yes, it is a small bank, but they have some interesting niches. One of them is that a niche where they provide funding to law firms that an example is maybe they won a court case and they're awaiting the money from the court case. So they may get a loan from Esquire to kind of bridge that money going to their clients before they collect the money from the other party. So they do some interesting things to finance various activities in law firms. So it's an interesting niche, small bank, but it's one that's kind of flies under the radar. I'm not sure there's anybody hearing my listening to my voice that even heard of Esquire Financial, but those are the types of stocks, you know, in the financial space that have maybe interesting niches that we are starting to see bubble up pretty well in our scoring system.
And then final thoughts on our discussion today as we wrap up the Gains podcast, Chuck.
Yeah, it's still a bull market. Don't be chased out of this market. If you want to take some profits on some trades that you've made, there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But keep in mind, you know, why you bought the stocks in the first place. If you bought them to trade, then be a trader. If you bought them to be a longer-term investor, then give those ideas a chance. And you will probably have some opportunity here, especially in some of the leading stocks that are starting to pull back, I would say, between now and the end of the year. So kind of keep an eye out for that sort of thing, because I think you're going to get some opportunities. But again, the primary trend of this market is still unequivocally bullish under the Dow theory, and I think that's the takeaway.
We'll take it. Big thanks to Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services, and check out their website, horizoninvestment.com. And Chuck, throw out that number for the Gains listeners.
Sure, that's 800-711-7969. 800-711-7969. And I'd love to talk to any and all of you if you want to give me a call.
All right, that wraps up today's Gains podcast. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.